Grace and peace to you and our God, who was and who is to come. Amen. There's a story told by Pastor Mark Allen Powell, and it is in his really wonderful series of lessons on how Lutherans interpret the Bible, which we really ought to do here sometime. You've probably heard me tell the story, and possibly also Patrick Vandemater, because he had Mark Allen Powell as a professor, and we both love the story. It's about we have a picture? It's about, he's on a bus, and he sees a young man sitting there, and he's got a big old Bible sitting in his lap, and Mark Allen Powell leans over, and he says, "Have you read that?" And the young man says, "Well, not all of it, but I skipped to the end, and you know what? We win." Today we read from the last chapters of the book of Revelation, the last chapters of the Bible, and we hear that we win. Not just us who are Christians or us who are humans, but all creation is brought to restoration and redemption in God. Now, looking back, in chapter 1, we heard Christ say, "I am the beginning and the end." And we saw the very first vision of the book of Revelation is Christ among the churches, right? Christ with us. And then in the second week, chapters 4 and 5, we saw God seated on the throne, holy, mighty, majestic Lord and creator of all things. And that the power of this God is expressed not in the sort of conquering might of empire, but in the power of the Lamb who was slain. Last week, we heard about the horsemen and the beast and the dragon who is kicked out of heaven. In chapters 19 and 20, Satan, the dragon, reappears in the book of Revelation and is finally defeated by God in Christ. In a sense, this whole book of Revelation is a story of battle between good and evil, between God and Satan. And Revelation claims definitive victory for God at the end of all things. We live now with suffering, threats, with losses, and the reality of death. Revelation promises us an end in which God is victorious and all of these struggles are wiped away as God wipes every tear from our eyes. God's triumph over evil results in a new world, a new existence. John's vision is the fulfillment of what was promised, particularly by the prophet Isaiah, the promise that God will renew the face of the earth. But God does not start over. Missed two again. There we go. God does not start over. God does not make all new things. God makes all things new. God claims, transforms, and redeems us as we are, and the world as it is, in all its imperfection. This is why I think that the theory of the rapture is all wrong. I don't know how many of you have heard about the rapture, a teaching popularized around the turn of the century by the Left Behind books, where all the faithful are pulled up out of creation and the world is just kind of left to burn, but the faithful are taken up with God. Now, there are parts of Revelation that are actually used in this teaching. The saints gathering at the altar or the throne of God while the world suffers in tribulation, or the part about the beast is given rule of the earth for some certain many years. All of those things are part of these tribulationist or millennialist teachings. But the final vision of Revelation is of God redeeming and renewing the whole creation, which for me is the only thing that makes sense. Because the entire biblical witness is that God is completely and madly in love with this world, even with humans who seem to always be making a mess of the whole thing. The Old Testament gives witness to a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God sends prophets again and again to draw the people back into right relationship. In the Gospel of John, we hear that God so loved the world that God sent the only Son to redeem the whole world. And Paul tells us that there is nothing in all of creation, nothing in life or death, in heaven or earth, that can separate us from the love of God. John of Patmos, in his visions, shares with us a vision of where that love will lead, to a new Jerusalem, a final restoration of all creation, where there is no more weeping, no more pain or suffering, where the water of the river of life runs through the city, and the tree of life grows over the river, and there is no need for lights or even the sun, because the Lord God will be the light. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in our hearts, Lord Jesus. We'll sing that in a little bit. It's one of my favorites. In the earliest history of humanity, the first humans are expelled from the Garden of Eden, and the cherubim with flaming sword are placed there to keep humans away from the tree of life. Now, in the last visions of this last book of the Bible, the tree of life is in the center of the new creation, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations, all the peoples of the world. The gates of the new Jerusalem, the restored garden, are open day and night, open to all. The new Jerusalem is not so much a place as an imagined reversal of all that is wrong and a restoration of relationship with God. In his book, Revelation and the End of All Things, Craig Kester writes, "The mystery of the end is revealed through the voice of God, who declares that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the voice of Christ, who says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To use the words of Revelation itself, the end of all things is God and the Lamb. This startling disclosure brings us back to where we began. Readers are like travelers who climb mountains and cross valleys, who swelter in the day and grope through the darkness at night, contending with plagues, tyrants, and wild beasts, only to find themselves back on their front doorstep, looking at the view with new eyes." Every time I read this, I just can't help but think about The Hobbit. I don't know if you've read the story or seen the movie, but one of those epic journeys where, and how he comes around to writing it up as there and back again, taking the whole journey and learning so much about himself and about the world, and then coming back to home with a new set of eyes. I believe Pastor Kate would say that's the hero's journey. Already in chapter one, back to Craig Kester, already in chapter one, God and Christ declare that they are the beginning and the end. And the visions that follow show readers the implications of what it means to know that the end is not an event, but a person. The end of the world in Revelation, that Revelation imagines, is not a place or a time or a battle or an event. The end of the world is God and the Lamb. The end brings us back to the beginning, when God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Back to the first chapter of Revelation, where Christ is in the midst of the struggling churches, and the first words of Christ, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one." John promises that whatever happens in the future, we can trust in God and remain faithful because God remains faithful to us. The purpose of John's visions recorded in Revelation are to say, keep the faith. Do not be afraid, because in the end, God triumphs. As frightening as some of the visions of horsemen and the beast ruling the earth and the battle with the dragon can be, as frightening as some of the things that we go through in our lives can be, in the end, what John wants to tell us is that God wins, and because God wins, we win. We can trust in God's victory over evil and death, which enables us to live life with new perspective of trust and faith. These are the new eyes John offers his readers, the new vision that he presents. Eyes of faith, a vision of courage and trust. With these visions, John invites us to set aside fear and anxiety, to set aside our distractions and our half-hearted faith, and to commit ourselves fully to God and the Lamb. To commit ourselves fully as saints of God to the vision and promise of healing of the nations and the restoration of all creation. See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's peoples, and God will be with them and be their God. God will wipe every tear from their eyes, from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Thanks be to God, the beginning and end of all creation. Amen.